President Joe Biden hopes to provide sympathy and support in a visit to the Hawaiian island ravaged by a deadly wildfire.
For area residents struggling to get basic needs met, Biden brings a sense of hope that relief will quickly go where it's most needed.
Plus, residents of Ukrainian port cities feel they've lost the one thing that made them feel somewhat safe from Russian attacks.
Many residents believe Russia's pullout from the grain deal, which allowed Ukraine to keep exports, has left them vulnerable and made their ports a target.
And from turmoil to triumph, Spain earns its first Women's World Cup title. Today is Monday, August 21st, and this is VOA's International Edition. Good morning, I'm Lori London in Washington. President Biden and First Lady Jill Biden are scheduled to visit Maui Monday to assess the impact of wildfires that reduced parts of the Hawaiian island to smoldering ash. VOA's Arash Arabasadi has more on how some residents are coping.
Oh my gosh, look at the harbor.
As rapidly spreading wildfires left Hawaii's second largest island smoldering, pilot Richie Olsten saw it all from his cockpit.
Hundreds of homes leveled down to the ground. The historic section of the town is destroyed. All the historic buildings, Lahaina used to be the capital of all of Hawaii. Even the boats in the harbor were burned down to the water. They're gone.
What started as a brush fire quickly escalated amid a perfect storm of high winds and dry conditions that scorched the historic town of Lahaina in Maui, burning much of this commercial and cultural hub to the ground. Maui's emergency chief Herman Andaya resigned during the disaster amid criticism for not sounding the emergency sirens typically used to signal tsunami warnings. Andaya defended the decision, saying tsunami warnings drive people inland, and in this case, that meant straight into the fire. His resignation was officially due to health reasons. More than 110 people have died in the fires, a number that is expected to grow in the coming days. The number of people missing remains unclear, but Hawaii first responders recently received reinforcements from the Department of Defense. Members of the U.S. Army and National Guard joined search and rescue teams, and the Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA, says relief efforts have so far been a success.
Right now, the search efforts are 78% complete in Lahaina Town, and we continue to have our teams on the ground going through all of the structures that were lost as a result of this fire. But we've also given out already over $8 million to families that have been impacted and registered for assistance with FEMA, and our shelter population is down to just over 40, with over 1,200 people that have been moved into hotels, motels, and other types of short-term rentals.
President Joe Biden and First Lady Jill Biden are scheduled to visit Lahaina Monday. For area residents struggling to get basic needs met, Biden brings a sense of hope that relief will quickly go where it's most needed.
I'm very hopeful that him coming in will help expedite a lot of products coming in, a lot of supplies that aren't able to make it. Like the guys are, I found out from guys that are staying at the hotel that if it's not FEMA certified or Red Cross, they're not getting the supplies that are waiting outside their door. So, you know, I mean, it's frustrating.
Even amid a global outpouring of donations and support, the Bidens will be visiting a disaster zone marked by the deadliest wildfires in more than a century. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News.
Denmark has joined the Netherlands in providing F-16 warplanes to Ukraine, something Kyiv has pushed for as vital to defending itself from Russia's invasion. More from Associated Press correspondent Mimi Montgomery.
At a news conference in Denmark, Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky says training of Ukrainian pilots of F-16 fighter jets is already underway.
Ми говорили, домовились про передачу дані 19 винищувачів F-16.
His remarks come as he visits the Netherlands and Denmark to finalize warplane delivery deals. Danish Prime Minister Mette Frederiksen says she hopes the first Danish planes will arrive around the new year. The deals, which should bolster Ukraine's air force in its battle against Russia, are happening after a long-awaited approval by the U.S. U.S., allowing the two countries to give Ukraine the American-made jets. I'm Mimi Montgomery.
Meanwhile, port officials in Ukraine are working to expand alternative export routes, where still they may only be able to export roughly a third at best of the agricultural goods they did before the war. And after a string of Russian attacks on Ukrainian ports, residents say a now defunct grain deal with Russia, which had provided a sense of safety, is now lost. We hear more from VOA's Heather Murdoch reporting from the city of Odessa.
Last weekend, it wasn't the ports that were hit in Odessa, but residential areas, including shops, hospitals, and schools. Many residents believe Russia's pullout from the grain deal, which allowed Ukraine to keep exports, most notably a considerable portion of the world's food supply, moving through the Black Sea, has left them vulnerable and made their ports a target. Marina Plakova is a resident of Yuzhna, a picturesque city outside of Odessa, where their ports have stopped operating since Russia pulled out of the grain deal last month. She says she believes the grain deal gave them some protection from Russian assaults, and her family agrees. Others say the recent spate of attacks and the deal may be unrelated, as violence continued throughout the year in which the deal was in place. Now, the usual lines of cargo ships on the Black Sea are gone, but officials say food products are still moving, just at a much slower rate, and the consequences are vast. Dmitry Baranov is the deputy CEO of the Ukrainian Seaports Authority.
Це треба експортувати, і це проблема не тільки України.
He says Ukrainian farmers are reeling from the financial blow, and world food prices are expected to rise drastically. Global food prices rose as much as 20% when the Ukraine war began, but came back down after the grain deal was put into place. Prices are already again on the rise. The World Food Program relies on Ukraine for more than half of the wheat it uses to feed the poorest people in the Middle East and Africa. Inside Ukraine, officials say they may be able to export roughly one-third the amount they did in pre-war years, but that's not enough to keep the farming industry thriving and port cities alive. This is Oksana Vorotnikova, the secretary of the Yuzhna City Council. She says they are expecting a bumper crop this summer, but the end of the grain deal means most of it could go to waste. She says she wishes this success would come at a time where they could sell their products without risking lives. This year, winter is expected to be harder in Ukraine's port cities, with reduced incomes, a reduced availability of electricity, and attacks that seem to have intensified since the end of the grain deal. Heather Murdoch, VOA News, Odessa and Yuzhna, Ukraine.
Leaders of the United States, Japan, and South Korea wrapped up a Friday summit with a historic agreement. And in a break from past summits, the leaders explicitly highlighted Beijing's, quote, dangerous and aggressive behavior in the South China Sea. VOA's White House Bureau Chief Patsy Wiedekuswara reports.
Friday's summit, hosted by President Joe Biden at the U.S. presidential retreat Camp David, resulted in a series of defense pledges by Washington, Tokyo, and Seoul, including a commitment to consult with one another during a regional crisis.
That means we'll have a hotline to share information and coordinate our responses whenever there is a crisis in the region or affecting any one of our countries.
In a break from past summits, the leaders explicitly highlighted Beijing's dangerous and aggressive behavior supporting unlawful maritime claims in the South China Sea. Beijing claims sovereignty over almost the entire waters.
Unilateral attempts to change the status quo by force in the East and South China Seas are continuing, and the nuclear and missile threats of North Korea is only becoming ever larger.
South Korea's intelligence service said Pyongyang is preparing more intercontinental ballistic missile tests in protest of the summit.
Any provocations or attacks against any one of our three countries will trigger a decision-making process of this trilateral framework, and our solidarity will become even stronger and harder.
The Camp David summit has been characterized by Beijing and Pyongyang as Washington's gambit to create a mini NATO in Asia.
The Asian Pacific region is a promising land for peace and stability and cooperation and development, and should not become a dueling ground for geopolitical rivalry.
Camp David marked the milestone in relations between South Korea and Japan, its former occupier. It followed months of diplomacy to put aside their fraught history and mutual distrust to deal with common security challenges. Patsy Wiedekuswara, VOA News.
We're following these other stories from around the world. Record-setting wildfires in Canada's western province of British Columbia have led to thousands of evacuations and thousands more expected to be pushed out of their homes this week as firefighters battle blazes that have already destroyed properties and closed one major highway. Ecuadorians put aside fears amid unprecedented violence to vote for a new president Sunday in a special election, with heavy presence of police and soldiers in part due to the assassination of a presidential candidate earlier this month. Russia's Roscosmos Space Agency says the Lunar 25 spacecraft has crashed into the moon after it spun into an uncontrolled orbit, bringing a premature end to the country's first lunar mission since 1976. This is VOA News.
This is Science in a Minute.
Numerous studies have suggested that the loss of a loved one can not only deeply affect you emotionally and psychologically, but physically as well. Researchers from the University of Arizona in Tucson were involved with now completed research on the effect of grief on heart function. A study recently published in the journal Psychosomatic Medicine shows a link between the severity of grief with elevated systolic or upper number blood pressure measurements. The paper also provides evidence that grief can also be a risk factor for cardiac events. In a press release, senior study author Mary Frances O'Connor says that the motive behind conducting the research is the concept of dying of a broken heart, which can happen following the loss of a loved one. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA's International Edition continues. I'm Lori London. Authorities in Pakistan have arrested at least 170 people after a mob of Muslims attacked churches and homes belonging to the Christian community in the city of Jaranwala in the most popular province, Punjab. The attack followed allegations of desecration of the Quran by two Christian men. As some Christian residents resolve to return home, they say they may never feel safe again. VOA's Pakistan Bureau Chief Sarah Zaman reports from Jaranwala.
Tears, hugs, and impromptu prayers. As people return to devastated homes in Jaranwala after Wednesday's mob attack, allegations that two Christian men had reportedly desecrated pages of the Quran, the Muslims' holy book, triggered the rampage involving hundreds of Muslims. Sajid Masih says police told residents they had 10 to 15 minutes to flee to safety. With household items burned to ashes and homes ransacked, residents of Jaranwala's Christian colony lost in minutes what they spent years gathering. Mona Emanuel says the gold jewelry she had bought for her daughter's wedding, along with construction material for a new home, were stolen. For many, there is no place left for worship, as the only Catholic church in the neighborhood stands gutted. Church elder Babu Rafaqat Gil says he cannot lead worshippers until the building is restored. Government officials are going door to door to assess the damage. Ghulam Murtaza from the Assistant Commissioner's Office says damages to households range from $700 to $5,000. With houses reeking of ash and fumes, men and women sit under the open sky in sweltering heat to guard whatever they have left. The provincial government has promised to rehabilitate the area within days. That looks like a tall order, given the extent of the damage. Church leaders are visiting from other cities to show solidarity. They say they want justice. Visiting from Lahore, 2 hours away, Bishop Yusuf Bhatti says condemnation is not enough. The government must punish the perpetrators. Despite several mob attacks against Christians in the past, Pakistan has seen few convictions. Muslim community leaders who attempted to stop the attack say they feel ashamed. Muslim community leader Muhammad Imran Qadri was among those who tried to stop the mob. He says the miscreants sent the wrong message about Islam. Mob attack victim Mona Emanuel says the desecration of religious books and spaces cannot be undone. Police are guarding the city while barbed wire and tents block access to sensitive areas. Despite the heavy police presence, victims say they may never feel safe again. Sajid Masih says he will never forget the violence he experienced. Sara Zaman, VOA News, Jarawala, Punjab, Pakistan.
The BRICS group of developing economies, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Korea, meet in Johannesburg this week for their annual summit. As Kate Bartlett reports, expansion of the bloc is expected to be high on the agenda.
On the surface, the members of this bloc have little in common. Brazil, India, and South Africa are democracies, while China and Russia are autocracies. However, one thing they do share is a disillusionment with the current US-led world order and a desire to create an alternative in which the global South has more clout. If the number of new countries looking to join the bloc is any indication, this is proving to be a popular idea. Some 40 nations, including Argentina, Iran, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates, are all interested in joining, and discussions about new members will likely feature high on the agenda of the summit, with BRICS members differing on the benefits of expansion. While some analysts, including Jim O'Neill, the former Goldman Sachs economist who coined the acronym, say the group has not actually achieved much since its founding in 2009, Mikata Kizo Kubai, a researcher at the Institute for Global Dialogue at the University of South Africa, disputes that.
There are over 40 countries that have expressed an interest in joining BRICS. Clearly, those 40 more than 40 countries have seen something, you know, some sort of benefit or use or value, you know, of BRICS to want to join it.
And this is how South Africa's Minister for International Relations and Cooperation, Naledi Pandor, put it last week. The current geopolitical context has driven renewed interest in BRICS membership as members of the Global South look for alternatives in a multipolar world, she said. Stephen Groost, an analyst at the South African Institute of International Affairs, said if more non-democratic states join, it could make the bloc more stridently anti-Western.
Certainly, if BRICS expands and includes countries like Iran, this will definitely enhance the anti-Western tone and tenor of discussions.
Already, BRICS accounts for some 40% of the world's population and an estimated one quarter of global gross domestic product. In terms of purchasing power parity, BRICS countries now have a larger share of global economic activity than G7 countries. A previously touted BRICS common currency is not something that will be discussed, according to South African organizers. However, the bloc's new development bank does want to de-dollarize.
The other issue that's going to be talked about is the currency that countries trade in, and talk of more trade in local currencies rather than US dollars.
President Cyril Ramaphosa of South Africa and Xi Jinping of China, Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi, and President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva of Brazil have all confirmed their attendance. Russia will be sending Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, while President Vladimir Putin will be taking part remotely as he is wanted for war crimes in Ukraine by the International Criminal Court. As a signatory to the court, Pretoria would be obliged to arrest Putin if he entered the country, a diplomatic nightmare they have now avoided. Separately, Ramaphosa will host Xi on the sidelines of the summit for an official state visit. China is South Africa's biggest trading partner. Kate Bartlett for VOA News, Johannesburg.
Comic books can be a great way to help people work through emotional trauma. For VOA, Jenya DeLo reports on comics that encourage children and adults to share their feelings and address issues of mental health.
Comic book writer Chegg Lowry is the author of Soldiers Unknown, the story of three members of his Native American Yurok tribe who fought in World War I.
In a lot of stories about veterans, we don't really talk about or see their struggle when they come home. I show the challenge of one of them. A lot of veterans, unfortunately, they drink, and now they'll take drugs because of the PTSD and the pain and the agony.
Lowry's comic shows indigenous culture and ceremonies, helping heal some of the horrors of war. He says that's especially important for Native American readers, dealing with emotional trauma in the context of colonialism and oppression.
They have to have the safe space first, and imagery that represents them and stories that represent them, so that they can share that first, and then you can delve into, you know, the painful history or the painful or sorrowful experience.
School psychologist Lorraine Garrison developed several comic books to help children express their feelings.
This one is about anxiety, first day of school jitters,
We drew, my husband and I drew this book together, and it's helping kids how to prepare for the first day of school. So having parents involved, having parents engaged read this book might help a student if or their child if they're a little bit nervous on the first day of school.
She also shows a stress relief coloring book and journal where children can express their emotions through coloring a bulldog. In her work, Garrison says she has found if she relates to children through their favorite comic book character, it can help with their anxiety.
The kids I really work with are special education in that area, and so that really gives a lot of children hope, because a lot of these comic book characters come from, like Spider-Man, a poor background, orphaned, or, you know, Batman was an orphan. So it's easier for me to talk to children that way if they can relate or feel something when they read these comics.
Garrison says comic books can also make a difference when it comes to suicidal thoughts among school children by helping them feel they are not alone and allowing them to express what they're feeling and ask for help. Jenny Adulo for VOA News, San Diego.
Sweet victory for Spain as it claimed the Women's World Cup title Sunday in a hard-fought final against England at Stadium Australia. Hussein Blatry with Reuters reports.
Spain has won the Women's World Cup for the first time after beating England 1-0 in the final. Captain Olga Carmona scored the only goal in the 29th minute after England lost possession in midfield. Spanish supporters gathered at the Wizink Center in Madrid, where a large screen broadcasted the exhilarating match. This is for women's soccer, for women's history. They deserve it. We must keep pushing and giving visibility. It's hard for us to fill up stadiums. Now it's going to be crazy. We're just a step away from men now.
As the referee blew the final whistle, marking the triumph, the elated crowd roared in celebration. English fans, however, were left in tears by their defeat. But former England women's player Janet Bagley hopes for a future win for the Lionesses.
Gutted, absolutely gutted, but still very proud. I thought they did an amazing fight, and they could come back to this country with their heads held very high. It'll happen, it'll definitely happen in the next 4 years' time, we'll win it.
Spain and England played a final match in front of more than 75,000 fans at Stadium Australia. Co-hosted by Australia and New Zealand, the 9th edition of a global showpiece event was the first to be held in the Southern Hemisphere.
Hussein Blatry reporting for Reuters. And it was a bittersweet ending for Spain captain and World Cup final hero Olga Carmona, who found out after the match that her father had died. This has been International Edition on The Voice of America. On behalf of the entire production team, thank you so much for joining us. For pictures, stories, videos, and more, follow VOA News on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Until next time, I'm Lori London in Washington. Be well and have a wonderful day.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Iranian authorities released 5 U.S. citizens from prison to house arrest. They include Siamak Namazi, Murad Tabaz, Imad Sharghi, and 2 Americans who wish to remain private. Most have been in prison since before the Biden administration took office. One has been held for nearly 8 years. None should have been detained in the first place, declared Secretary of State Antony Blinken in a recent briefing. Iran will gain access to $6 billion of its existing frozen assets for humanitarian expenditures, such as food and medicine, explained Secretary Blinken.
The dollars that are being made available, that is, Iranian funds that are being made now available to Iran, this is a way of actually facilitating their use strictly for humanitarian purposes. And in a strictly controlled way. Again, purposes that have been exempt from day one from our sanctions. Iran will not have direct access to these funds. There will be significant oversight and visibility from the United States.
Nothing about our overall approach to Iran has changed, affirmed Secretary Blinken.
We continue to pursue a strategy of deterrence, of pressure, and diplomacy. We remain committed to ensuring that Iran never acquires a nuclear weapon. We continue to hold the regime accountable for its human rights abuses destabilizing actions in the region, funding of terrorism, provision of drones to Russia for its use in war against Ukraine, among many other offenses.
We've been clear that Iran must de-escalate to create space for future diplomacy, said Secretary Blinken.
The move of our detainees out of prison and to home detention is not linked to any other aspect of our Iran policy. It is simply about our people.
Indeed, the United States expects the five Americans who have been moved from prison to home detention to return home in the weeks ahead. I have no higher priority than looking out for the security and well-being of Americans around the world, said Secretary Blinken. Our department will continue to do everything we can to gain the release of those who are unjustly held around the world.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.